It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are nearing the end of 2025. A lot of things happened in local county government, and today we're going to be focusing on Calaveras County. We're joined in the studio by Martin Hubberty, who is the board chair of the Calaveras County Board of Supervisors. He is also the executive director of the Calaveras Visitors Bureau. We're going to be focusing on county government matters early in the show and then dive into some tourism topics a little bit later. Supervisor Hubberty, it's great to have you back on Motherlode Views.
Thank you, BJ. It's always a pleasure to be here.
So looking back on 2025, what would you say were some of the big county government highlights?
Well, it's been quite a year. There have been a lot of twists and turns. In Calaveras County, I would say infrastructure has been huge with us this past year. We completed our wagon trail project in phase one, which was a fantastic accomplishment. Phase two is now going to be done by Caltrans, so we're excited to see that finally happen. We've also been in the throes of three new buildings. We've started with the behavioral health building. We're going to be building a new DA building, and hopefully very soon we'll have a new animal shelter being started. So I would say infrastructure. We've also been taking care of business at the government center. There's a lot of work there, you know, updating the center itself. Overall, I would say that it's been a very, very successful year.
How would you say the year has gone as being the board chair and the leader of the supervisors? What's that experience been like?
It's been terrific. I really appreciate my colleagues, the other supervisors. What's wonderful is that we all get along really well. We respect each other, which is huge. We don't always agree, but we're not supposed to. And so that it works to our advantage to have some really good discourse. You know, being chair, it's one of those things that you get into the position and then, you know, you're sort of halfway through it and you can't believe, I mean, I can't believe the year's gone by. There's so much that has happened and that you want to do. And, you know, again, looking back, you think, oh, we could have done this or we could have done that. But, you know, overall, it's just been a really wonderful experience. I wasn't quite sure what to expect, but it's been really fruitful, I would say. And I look forward to being chair again.
You know, being the chair this year, you've been the leader of the supervisors. Your district itself, what are the different communities that you all cover?
So really, District 3, which is the district that I'm responsible for, it goes from Vallecito up to the Alpine border. So we have, you know, Vallecito, we have Murphy's, we have White Pines, Arnold, Avery, you know, and then all the way up to Tamarack. So it's very diverse in the respect that also in elevation, you know, it gains about 5,000 feet in elevation. So the needs are very different on different parts of the district. But again, it's working with the people that I love the most.
Your district, and notably Murphy's, was threatened by the TCU September Lightning Complex fire. What were your big takeaways from that event?
It was, honestly, it was amazing to me how well everybody dealt with it. And I guess what I want to say is our first responders were amazing. And I really want to shout out to Ironstone for doing their defensible space because it very easily could have come into town. All the homeowners in that area had done their defensible space. That's why we didn't lose any homes. I mean, there were some outbuildings that were lost, true. But what I was so impressed by, I mean, I went into town to try and help people evacuate. And There were no issues. People had done the work and had packed up and left. What came out of it were some really interesting things. If we had to have evacuated the Murphy's Diggins, for example, there were things that I hadn't contemplated before in these evacuations. That how much time it would take the Diggins for people to get out. I've said this at every FireWise meeting that I've gone to, what have you, but I went to a boarding school and we did rehearsals of fire evacuation every month and we hated it. And one morning the alarm went off at 5:30 in the morning and I was a prefect, so I got my dormitory emptied and we were all out of that house in 2.5 minutes. Within 5 minutes, there was nothing left of that house. And so I have a huge respect for fire, but I also have a huge respect for practicing. And so I'm working with with Eric Holt, our director of emergency services, and we're going to be doing some drills this spring, which I'm really excited about. We have a couple of the HOAs in the Upper Highway 4 corridor that are going to work with us, that we can work with the community and do some drills, as evacuation drills, to make sure that people are prepared and they can get out in a timely fashion.
I have to imagine there were some tense and stressful times when that fire was starting to grow.
There were, and yet I have to say that the first responders, the sheriff, were amazing in keeping the information coming. There was a point there where there was a lack of information, and I did try. I think in social media and in just your everyday life, you get so much information, and I really try and just talk to my constituents via social media when there's something really important. And I think that there was a lag in time there that nobody really knew what was going on, and I tried just to say what the status was to people. But other than that, I mean, the information flowed. I thought that the work that they did was incredible. And I think that you know, there were a couple of lessons learned that, you know, going forward we will we'll do better. One of the things that I did want to say also is that we have these GMRS phones now, or they're radios, and there's a group in the Upper Highway 4 corridor that have put this together, and we have a growing number of constituents that use these radios, because one of the things, this was the fire that happened in Copperopolis, not the Murphy's fire. When I got home, I had no power and I had no cell phone. And so how do you communicate? So we're always looking for ways of communicating with people so that they have a way of knowing what's going on and what we're supposed to be doing. So that's growing now, and I really am trying to promote that in my area.
Back to those evacuation drills that you're looking at, and you mentioned plans are still being developed, but do you know what kind of that's kind of going to look like, or how that would work?
Well, I think we're going to try each HOA as we go. Right now I've got two that have said that they would like to do it. They're big HOAs, and we'll just see. The general manager of one of the HOAs has actually done these drills before in his career. So we'll figure out, we'll sort of build a blueprint for it so that we can take it all up and down the Highway 4 corridor.
You know, getting into some other issues, how is the county budget doing right now?
Do you know, we've done really well this year, and I put that down to our administration. We have some really top-notch people, and I'm such a huge fan of our CEO, Teresa Hitchcock, and her team. But they've watched every penny, and they've made it very accessible for the supervisors to look through each department. And I think that we're, touch wood, we're doing really well.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking with Martin Huberty, who is the board chair of the Calaveras County Board of Supervisors. He's also the executive director of the Calaveras Visitors Bureau. We've touched on a number of county topics on this first segment. We're going to get into the Murphy's Median. That's been an issue in the Murphy's community that has garnered the attention of many people during this next segment. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. More, no job is too big or too small. In a programming note, there will not be Motherload Views next week or the following week due to the Christmas and New Year's holidays. We wish everybody a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Motherload Views will be returning January 3rd and the 4th. Our second segment with Supervisor Huberty is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. We're talking with Martin Huberty, who is the board chair of the Calaveras County Board of Supervisors through 2025. He's also the executive director of the Calaveras Visitors Bureau. Supervisor Huberty, an issue that's caught the attention, as I mentioned at the end of the last segment, of many in your district is the Murphy's Median. Can you kind of give us an overview of what happened with that situation and where things stand right now?
The Murphy's Median. I've spent the last 3 months of my life having it revolve around a cement median, and I say it is the divider that has united us all. The petition that went out regarding residents who were upset and wanted the median removed, you know, there's 1,995 residents of Murphy's, and 1,928, the last time I looked, had signed the petition to have it removed. Overall, my biggest concern, quite honestly, is the urbanization of our rural roads. And I don't believe that urban solutions actually aid us in the way that we drive here in the Motherlode. There's so much here that I want to say. I have to be sort of diplomatic about how I say it. But I will say personally, as a resident of Calaveras County District 3, it has been a real I don't know how to put it. It's been it just doesn't work. And from day one, it didn't work. And, you know, as a resident, I wanted to be able to pull in and out of the market without having to go through Robin's barn to get back to where I needed to go. It has really curtailed a lot of the way that we live in Murphy's. and, you know, again, this is me personally talking. It's been very frustrating because I don't think that we have been heard. Going forward, Caltrans has said that they will do a town hall with us in January, which we've asked for. I want my constituents to know what other projects are going on. The county is working with Caltrans very closely and with the Complete Streets project. So hopefully we'll be able to rectify some of these issues. I think some of the way that this was handled was not – I mean, I guess I will go on record and say that I wish when Caltrans had realized that this was not a B project, that they would have sat down and talked to the business owners and to the constituents and to the local government officials to ask us what would really make sense, as opposed to essentially putting this in the middle of our town and not really understanding how we drive in town.
Seems like to a lot of people were just surprised when it just kind of showed up, you know, and it was like kind of a quick thing.
No more than me. I mean, I called, and when I first saw it show up, I called my contacts at Caltrans, and they had no idea what it was or what had happened. And it took a little bit of digging. And what I will say is that everybody has been on it. It was never meant to be something contentious, which is why Caltrans called it a B project. And again, when we were in there was a document that came out in 2024 that actually had it listed on there. After having seen the document again, I realized, yes, I do remember reading it, but there wasn't anything in it that sort of said we're going to cut off emergency services to the market so that, you know, that nobody can get in or out. There was never meant to be anything contentious, but it has been nothing but contentious. And as I said, it is the divider that has united us all. Nobody thinks it's a good idea. The fixes that they have done, we went almost 2 months without having anything happen. It was just a bunch of cones in the middle of the road. But the fixes that they've done still have created some issues that need to be rectified, in my opinion.
Do you think there's any chance that there will be enough community support just to have it removed completely at some point?
No. I think Caltrans has dug their heels in, and this median is going to be there. I think that the county will work with Caltrans. And I want to work with Caltrans, and we've been working with Caltrans. I just don't feel that they've heard the voice of people who live in Murphy's. But the county will continue, obviously, to work with Caltrans. And there are some complete street projects that I know that the county is working on, and that hopefully with you know, the additional sidewalks and things that are supposed to happen, maybe they will revisit the idea of taking the median out. All we asked for was the middle lane to go all the way to the stoplight, and that would have, in my opinion, again, that would have solved all the issues, so that you would still be able to get into the market and out of the market. The market has lost 30% of their business because of this, and they also lost 1,000 customers last month because of the median. So we were able to get Caltrans did finish the work that they wanted to do, so we can at least get people into the market. Getting them out is a whole other issue.
I know Senator Maria Alvarado Gill has also taken an issue on a look at this issue. Have you heard much from her on this?
Do you know, I have to say, she's been fantastic. The senator, I got to know her. She came to her first fair that she came to was the Calaveras Fair in May, and I met her there. And I asked her for help with our animal shelter, and she said she wanted to come see it. And when she came to see it, she brought a check for $200,000, which really helped our animal shelter. She has been incredibly supportive. When I wasn't getting any action from Caltrans, I texted her. She was out of the country at the time on a business trip. She texted me right back, and her office has been on it every day since. Again, the county has no say over what happens in a state right-of-way. Caltrans can do what they want in their own right-of-way. So that's what's made it so difficult. Even with the senator asking them to take it away, they haven't. So, you know, where do you go next?
Where do you go next? So any other infrastructures in your district specifically, or infrastructure projects or things that you'd like to see happen down the road?
No pun intended. The road, the median. I would love to see the median gone. It really has affected. I really also would like to push on the fact that going back to evacuations, that you'll see that there is quite a bit of literature on how medians are an obstacle to evacuations. And on a good weekend, I'll have anywhere from 10 to 20,000 people on the Upper Highway 4 corridor. And we just need to make sure that we are prepared. And I think that, you know, that needs to be taken into consideration when we go forward and we're planning more work in the Murphy's area.
Need to take one more break, talking to Supervisor Martin Hubberty on this weekend's Motherload Views. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Got a couple more topics to get into in relation to county government, and also during the final upcoming segment, we're going to be talking about tourism trends and ways that Calaveras County works to attract new visitors to the region. That's coming up in our final segment in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
And we welcome you back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking with Martin Hubberty, who is the board chair of the Calaveras County Board of Supervisors, also the executive director of the Calaveras Visitors Bureau. A couple more things I want to get into on the county government side before I ask you to change hats and talk about Visitors Bureau's things. So first off, you talked about some projects earlier on, the DA facility that's going to be constructed, also the animal shelter that's been talked about. You know, for those projects, is funding available, or are you still looking for funding?
Well, thank you. The behavioral health is, and we've started with that. The DA, yes, it is. Animal shelter, we are actually looking for funding at the moment. We have the plans. We have the area. We're all ready to go. We are just looking for the funding. And I believe that the administration has a good source that we're looking at right now. But again, I don't want to jinx it. It's been too long. We've been waiting for this for 20 years. I hope that happens in this next year, that we actually can get started.
And that Rock Creek landfill doesn't sound like the most exciting thing, but that really is kind of big news for county
government. Yeah, we were just talking about that
leaders during
the break. And I would say that, you know, talking about being a supervisor, some of the decisions that you make, you know, will go on to serve the county and the constituents for years and years to come. And I use the Rock Creek landfill and the new cell as an example of that, because I think that ultimately decisions that the board makes, like, you know, finding the funds to make the new cell happen, we'll be able to, enjoy throwing our garbage away for the next 50 to 70 years. That new cell should last a long, long time. And that's the best part about being a supervisor, is knowing that these decisions that you really spend a lot of time making go on to help the community. And that's what I also was saying during the break, was that I really appreciate my colleagues, the other supervisors, because I do believe that we just all have the best interests of Calaveras at heart, and that makes it very easy.
Also, as we near the end of 2025, are there things out on the horizon that you see as challenges in county government?
I think there are always challenges. I think this next year, you know, we'll see. How do I want to put this? I would say the challenges, I think, come more with my Visitors Bureau role than with the supervisor role at the moment. And I think that some of the things that we experienced in 2025 reflect that.
So good segue. So what is kind of the state of tourism right now in Calaveras County?
We're doing very well. I think 2025 is fantastic. I think that we're going to see an upswing, as we did. 2024 was difficult. We sort of stayed stagnant with 2023 numbers. There are several issues that I think caused that. But 2025, it was a tough year, and I really want to hand it to Darren Mills, for example, at the marina. with the golden muscle and what the trials and tribulations that that posed, and how he was able to work through it and still have a good year with the Forest Service and the lack of federal funds, and how they were able to open all those campgrounds and maintain them during the summer is really commendable. Yeah, it has been a tough year, but I think that you'll see that our transient occupancy tax, we're going to make our numbers, which, you know, is a direct reflection of how the county's doing, I think. Yeah.
What would you say are kind of the big attractions that draw people to Calaveras County?
Oh, definitely. Since day one, it has been Big Trees. And Big Trees is our number one draw. I always talk about our natural spaces because, you know, as Tahoe and Yosemite get more and more crowded, we really enjoy in the Upper Highway 4 corridor a sense of space with our mountain lakes and reservoirs and the Stanislaus, that you can find peace and you can be in nature and be by yourself, which is fantastic.
How would you describe the efforts to attract new visitors? What are kind of your strategies?
Do you know, so not that it's sour grapes or anything, but our budget is about it's a little less than a third of what Lisa gets here in Tuolumne. I mean, obviously, you're on the doorstep of Yosemite and you have a much bigger hotel base, so I get it. But to me, I go back to my career was in filmmaking, and there is nothing better than word of mouth. And, you know, you can spend all the money you want on advertising, but if a friend tells you you've got to go see this movie, you're going to go see it. And I put the resources that we have towards getting that personal experience with people. What I want is I want our visitors to leave thinking, I'm going to go tell other people to go to Calaveras County because I had the best time. And so it's really – it's boots on the ground. It's our visitor centers. It has been a boon for us to be located at the Angels Camp Museum because now we – you know. As opposed to a visitor center where people come in and ask two or three questions, we get to spend 2 hours with people, and we really get to know them, and we get to tell them what to do in the county. Our Visitors Bureau has been very successful also in Murphy's. It is that personal touch. I want to say that that's really what we focus on, and our front desk staff is fantastic. We work very hard, and what I love is that, you know, the Visitors Bureau people are really interested in history now and the museum, and the museum people are really interested in the visitors. So we're all kind of working together, and we've got a huge team that take care of our visitors. But for me, I would say ultimately I want to put a lot of emphasis on word of mouth, of getting people return customers, but also getting people to say, hey, have you been to Calaveras? You got to go. It's that homespun feel, I think, that we give people. And I think that people come visit us feel like it's their second home.
A lot of people come here for history, so it goes hand in hand.
It does. It does indeed. And, you know, again, we have some of the best. The County Museum in San Andreas is the gem of Calaveras, as well as the Angels Camp Museum, which is, you know, again, we've got a 10,000 square foot carriage house that I think, you know, you can't find anywhere else in the country. And it's all local. You know, the Sierra Nevada Logging Museum, the museum at the Big Trees. There's a lot for people to do here.
Sorry,
I didn't mean to step on you. The MACT Museum is unbelievable, and I would encourage people to go. It is a fantastic museum, and all of the Dr. Cooper's baskets, the city's baskets, the Stephen O. baskets, the baskets that came from Murphy's and the Old Timers Museum are all there, and Christopher Mendel has done an amazing job and curating all of that. And you won't believe you're in Angels Camp when you go into this museum. It's world class, and it's an amazing story, and it's wonderful to see these baskets restored and being preserved in such a fantastic way.
I was there on opening day, and there were a lot of people there. It was great to see so many people going through.
It's one of a kind. And again, when you're asking about market and bringing in new visitors, this is something because Native American visitation is huge. It's what, you know, Visit California has spent some time and money, you know, showcasing these types of places. And I hope that this, again, it's a huge boon for Angels Camp, and it's a major attraction.
Do you still put out the visitors' guides, the paper visitors' guides?
Yes. I just actually was on the telephone with Joy before we started. They should be here. I always try and get them just that week before New Year's, and so we start handing them out. It's exciting. I like doing it. I love doing it, and I love the that people get excited about it, and We had actually one of a new director of a major business in Calaveras said that he actually moved from out of the state, and he said it was like the best way to get to know what goes on in the county and to see everything that we have to offer. So, yeah, it's important. We hand out just over, I would say, last year, I haven't done the count completely, but I mean, we're, on average, we're about 14,500 that we hand out personally. And so we print 50,000 copies. 28,000 of those are distributed around Northern California. And then we were averaging about 80,000 people that were downloading it on the website. So it's an important – it's our biggest marketing tool.
Tuolumne County gets a lot of international visitation, especially with Yosemite National Park. Calaveras County, do you get much international visitation, or is it more, you know, state
national?
We used
to get a lot more. I mean, these days it's a little bit tense for our international visitors and yeah, so we used to get a lot more international, and our biggest market was the UK, British people making a 2-week holiday. They, you know, flying to San Francisco, they want to do Lake Tahoe, Yosemite. We spend a lot of time, as Lisa, I'm sure, has told you, you know, trying to get people to understand that the Highway 49 corridors. You know, we always say that Highway 1, okay, that's the best drive you can do in California, but the second best one you can do is Highway 49. And so we have an organization that we all belong to called the Gold Country Visitors Association, and that's everybody from Sierra to Madera counties is part of this. And so we work together, and it's a fantastic organization. And Lisa Mayo was president for years, and now it's Tiffany McKenzie. But it's a great organization, and we really do promote well together, because ultimately what we're selling is the mother lode.
How about growing local wine tourism?
You know, that's tough. It's been really tough. We obviously get a lot of people that come up, but you know, it's been tried before to get wine tours through Calaveras and with great fanfare, and it hasn't panned out. What it is we do get an amazing amount of groups that come up. I mean, whether it's a girls, you know, weekend away kind of thing, or just, you know, families that want to come in to Murphy's and experience the wine that we do. I mean, we have award-winning wines, and we've got amazing wineries that people can go visit. I still say it's going to – I mean, I know that there's been a bit of a dip, but I think it's coming back.
Well, Martin Hubbardy, it's been great having you on Motherlode Views. Any other things that I didn't bring up, whether it be tourism or county government, that you'd like to end with here today?
You know, I was going to say during the county government section, I'd never been in government before. And when I first got in, I thought, oh, now I know why nothing ever happens. But what I do want to say is how much happens that we all just take for granted. And there are a tremendous amount of people working very hard. And it's amazing that the work that our local governments do. And it's a very dynamic position to be in. And I've really appreciated it. And I was hugely honored to be the chair of the board this year.
Well, Supervisor Hubbardy, we appreciate your time and getting us up to speed on everything in Calaveras County.
Thank you very much, BJ. Again, such a pleasure always being here.
Again, we thank Martin Hubbardy for being our guest. I'm BJ Hansen. We've been touching on a number of things on the show related to Calaveras County and also specifically the community of Murphy's. I want to remind everybody that Murphy's is going to have the big Christmas Day dinner. It's put on by the Murphy's Friends every year. A bunch of volunteers and local businesses get together. They let us know that this year's event is going to be taking place again. It's Thursday, December 25th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Native Sons Hall at 389 Main Street in Murphy's. There's more information up in a full story on mymotherlode.com about ways that people can volunteer, and also if people want to have meals delivered to them, there's a way to do that as well. Last year, over 1,000 meals were served. And that is going to be a wrap on Motherlode Views for 2025. We're going to have a 2-week break during the holiday period. We wish everybody a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We're going to be returning with new episodes of Motherlode Views January 3rd and 4th. So come back then. We'll have all kinds of great shows again lined up for the new year. If you missed any of the shows from 2025, a reminder that you can go to the media section of mymotherlode.com. You can find the shows there. You can listen to them at your convenience. We've got a whole slate of shows from this past year focused on county government, state government, education, business, and everything in between. We'll see you back next time for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.